Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Welcome, everyone, to Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, and I'm joined here by my wonderful wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And we're here on this beautiful start to the Memorial Day weekend. We hope you all are taking advantage of the beginning of summer, and I know many are heading out to the beaches and other places for recreation. It's also the chance to remember Memorial Day as our honor of all those who gave their lives in service to our country, and we really recognize and applaud their tremendous sacrifices,
that they're the ultimate sacrifice,
and the families that live on. Mm. We thank you from our bottom of our hearts for your sacrifice. This is also a time in the church as we approach Pentecost weekend this Sunday, which is
lots of good things happening.
Which is kind of a good time for this program, actually, as we start to talk about what Pentecost means and how the apostles were sent forth with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and help convert others. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. One of the things I think a lot of people don't realize is in this diocese alone, we have, I think, roughly 800 new Catholics came into
praise God
the Archdiocese this past Easter. And most of us as Catholics don't recognize that that's happening. We hear about people leaving the church.
Right.
We don't always hear about people coming back into the church. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Some of our listeners talk about their family members leaving the church.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this program because this is going to be a program where I know that there are many listening who are saying, I have a spouse away from the church, a child, a loved one. Well, this is the program for you because Sister Pat is really going to help us with giving us tools, enabling us to be able to share our faith on a level that hopefully we're going to be able to invite our brothers and sisters into a deeper union with Christ. And we have a beautiful witness as well in the studio sharing her story.
That's what we're going to talk about is, why are people leaving the church and what's the church's response to that? What are people doing about that? And as you said, you kind of stole our introductions there, but we had two wonderful guests joining us today. We have Sister Pat Kelly from St. Andrew's Parish. She's the director of evangelization there. And Sister is a native Philadelphian, grew up in Northeast Philly, went to St. Timothy's Parish. She has degrees from Chestnut Hill and St. Charles Seminary and a pastoral counseling certificate from Newman College. So welcome, Sister. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here with the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit. Appropriately named station here, right? And then joining Sister is another person from St. Andrew's Parish, Becky Gabriel. She's a recent convert to the faith, joining us, coming home in last year, right, Becky?
Yep, last Easter I was baptized and received my first Holy Communion and confirmation, and beautiful, and just really loving it.
I think many of us have a great love for converts because we as cradle Catholics have been given the faith. But you really sought the faith and seeked it and embraced it, and I just want to applaud you for that.
It's a
beautiful
witness
for all of us.
There's so many wonderful opportunities, too, I think, for the people that are new to the faith. We have so much enthusiasm, and we've gotten so much of the background on why we do so many things and the beauty of it and just how the church is full of love and so inviting, and so I think that's a wonderful opportunity, and it will fit in nicely with today.
And you inspire all of us.
And I think it's great to have that kind of witness here on today's program.
Right.
Let me just remind everyone, this is a live show, this is a call-in show, so if you have questions throughout the hour and you want to call in and talk to one of us here, the number you can reach us is 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear from you. Lines are open. So as we talk to Sister and Becky here, if you have questions, you've always wondered, what do I say to people, or do you have questions yourself about evangelization, we'd be happy to talk to you about
program.
That. This is the program. So let's start, Sister. I think this is a pretty fundamental question I think the church has been asking itself lately is, why are people leaving the church? What is it about? We have a rich tradition, a 2,000-year tradition, where people have been with the Catholic Church throughout their entire lives and their families throughout their entire lives, and yet we see today's world, we see it's wonderful how we have 800 people coming in, mm-hmm. but we also have a steady stream of people leaving the church. So what are some of the reasons, or what have, you know, what surveys have been done to help us understand what's been going on there?
Well, I think that's an important thing for us to consider, the reasons. For me, I like to put the good news in that question, too. Not only why are people leaving, but I like, when I talk with persons who have not been active for a while, I like to say, what can I learn from your experience? Mm. What can we as a church learn from your experience? Mm. And then I'd like to add, and what would it take to get you back? You know? But I think some of the reasons, because so many of our listeners probably are so aware of their own family and friends maybe who have not been active for a while. One of the recent surveys in nearby was done and in the Diocese of Trenton. And some of the reasons that were shared with us in various publications, some natural drifting away, some people thinking, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Some of the church scandals have mm-hmm. paralyzed certainly. People. Mm-hmm. The ordinary disagreement in terms of some issues.
Doctrinal issues.
Doctrinal right. issues. And then sometimes, in my experience, sometimes it's a personal event. And I think some of those things, again, you don't make, it's not a magical wiping away of some of those hurts, or if one is feeling disaffected. But there are some things that can link us again. Mm-hmm. And remember, too, the Holy Spirit's always at work right. in all of those. And I've had some good experience of really maybe facilitating some reconciliation on some of those aspects that people are with right now, that may be in their way.
Yeah.
People
struggle, I find, that they had an experience, they have a disagreement, right. but it kind of stops there, that, you know, they would be willing to do more, but they don't know how to get past that
that's
issue,
right.
whether it's a personal issue, a doctrinal issue, they kind of struggle, and they just stop there, and that's sort of the end of it for them, and there's an opportunity for us maybe to reach out with the Holy Spirit and maybe, stir their heart a bit.
Right, right. I do think that. And sometimes even when there was an event, maybe a difficult situation in a parish, I've had a couple experiences fortunate that one of the priests in the parish was willing mm-hmm. to sit down and just talk about what happened, sometimes when it was even connected to an event right there. Mm-hmm. But I've also had the experience of priest treatment of a situation, that a priest even coming into our little group gathered who were trying to discern whether or not they wanted to return or not, and making a most sincere and heartfelt apology for mm-hmm. any hurts mm-hmm. that anyone suffered mm-hmm. along the way. Mm-hmm. So those things were very meaningful.
Yeah.
And I think more of that it's probably
no
is available.
It's no point to validate what
that's
people
right.
are suffering.
That's exactly
to
it.
Validate, and then you can really move on from
that's
that.
That's right.
Don't
yeah,
pretend
right.
it didn't happen.
Right.
Don't deny
that's right.
It.
Or that it was okay that it happened.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. But that remind them that the church still stands, you know, sort of despite all the personal failings of everyone in it. You know, the church commissioned by Jesus.
And will continue.
Will continue. Mm, and yeah. there's a truth to the church that is above and beyond the failures of the individuals in it.
That's right.
And that
it's the mission of Jesus that we're called to. That's what we're calling one another back to. The right. message and the message and the mission of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And you know, I found for myself on our journey, you know, that the Catholic Church has, and Becky, I think we were talking before the show, is that it has so much beauty and truth to share, but it doesn't necessarily, it hasn't historically done a good job of teaching people about that, at least in the modern world. And in the older days, families grew up and the church kind of dispensed the truth and the people in the church, the good people in the church, took it and that was it. They just kind of lived mm-hmm. it without really questioning why.
Well, and there's also, you know, part of it is a lack of education in a sense, that you have the cradle Catholics that are getting, going through their religious education, and many of them after eighth grade, and they are sixth grade, and it'll be moving into eighth grade, they get their confirmation and they stop. And when you look at the limited amount of knowledge and the reasons why so much happens in the Mass and what each of the different pieces is about, you don't have that depth. Right. And so now they're growing up and they're going off for college and then they're, you know, they're adults and you're going to have to, they have to find their way back again, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's picking up and reading it, but it's deepening their own strength at, the, at their faith that they need to do. And then how do you do that? Because there weren't a lot of tools that were given as a young child.
You're right. And we're living in a world where we're living among many people of a lot of different faith backgrounds. Or no faith background. So our children are really being bombarded with all these different ways to, you know, quote, live a religious life or even live a personal life. So they really do need the tools to be strengthened and to be grounded in the faith so that they can go live in the world as witnesses of Christ, helping to draw others into the faith.
And that whole aspect, Janet, that you mentioned about some of our young folks being interested in the beauty and the nature, the origin of other religions. I have encountered some of our younger folks and folks my age, older, who feel spiritual but not religious and are would rather pursue a variety of religions to see. But I always say, you know, I don't know that there needs to be a dichotomy between spiritual and religious because... Right. Religion really means to bind together. And I think we have some very sincere spiritual persons who probably would be all the more strengthened by connection with a religious community, with a church community. When you, Deacon Rich, mentioned at the beginning of the program that there were 800 catechumens admitted into the church, so many of them said it was the example of active Catholics that helped.
Right.
And I think so many situations along the way, we have experienced the strength that comes from being connected to a community.
Right.
And I think that's part of what I mean, that there is not a need to feel one or the other, but that the religion can in fact deepen your spirituality, help your spirituality.
Right. Of course.
And
the spiritual people, as they come into the church, can imbue the church
with
some renewed fervor that sometimes those of us that are cradle Catholics can lose a bit over time. So you're right, it's not an either or. I mean, the church is always about a both and, you know, so religious and spiritual is what we are together. I admire, as you said, I admire the spirituals because they're on a journey.
Yeah.
You know, they're way ahead of the game because they already believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
That's further than I started at. And it's, you know, they're looking, they're seeking, they're trying. And that's a beautiful thing. And we want to encourage that and tap that energy.
That's right.
And channel it.
And I was a spiritual.
And you were that.
I mean,
okay.
And that's a really interesting example because, and what had my husband over the years, you know, over the 17 years that I did not move into the faith, for me, what he said one time really hit home, which was, you know, you will only be able to go so far in your relationship with God without having a path to get you there.
Right.
And that's so much of what our faith is, whether that's taking communion, whether that's, you know, reading and listening to the readings during Mass. I mean, those are the sacraments. You're not, it's the depth of your relationship.
And if our faith is not an ongoing journey, we really died in it.
Right.
We can't remain stagnant. There's always something to learn and to grow in. Even if you're reading the same Bible verse every single day,
absolutely,
you will always continue to grow if you open yourself up to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through that.
And the more you do, the more you grow, the more you continue to open up, and it just gets larger and larger and more beautiful.
And you want to bring more and more people into it because God's love is so vast and so great that He's calling each and every one into the body of Christ.
I think it's... a good thing maybe to even be mindful of Pope Benedict and his real compassion for the seekers.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can, is it okay just to quote something he said? He said, "Those of you who are seekers, who are unbelievers, challenge the believers in a particular way to live consistent with the faith they profess. You challenge them by your rejection of any distortion of religion. And he said, you who are believers long to tell your friends that the treasure dwelling within you is meant to be shared.
That's a beautiful thing. You're right. I mean, there is a moment, you know, in your journey. I can remember my faith journey. Mm-hmm. You know, coming from an atheist background, my dad's an atheist, my brother's still an atheist. There was
a pretty ardent atheist.
Pretty ardent one, and you know, for a while I couldn't face him because I wasn't. I knew I wasn't strong enough to kind of withstand those challenges.
It's almost like a spiritual battle with him.
Right, but as I got stronger, then, and you're right that, you know, reaching out to him actually strengthened and solidified my faith because I was able to articulate why I disagreed with him, and I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, his opposition actually helped me. Deepen.
Yeah, and it's hard to do.
Right.
I always am comforted and encouraged by a quote from Cardinal Newman, who himself, you know, was a convert from the Anglican to the Catholic Church, and he said, just about those moments when you want to hold back or you're not quite sure, but he said this: therein lies the nobility of faith, that we have the heart to dare something.
Mm.
And I think of that, as many of our listeners may know, one of the summaries from the study of the Trenton group there was the whole issue of exit interviews.
Yeah.
And should we be more attentive, as you brought out at the beginning, Deacon Rich, about asking people why they have left the church?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, there is always an opportunity to say to one whom you know that has left, well, we've noticed you're not coming to Mass anymore. Can I help?
Right.
Can you tell me what, if anything, I've done wrong or we've done wrong as a church?
Right.
We'd love to see you back with us. You know, so there's to dare that question, to dare that question when you can, just to give your own exit interview to one of your loved ones,
right,
or, you know, to a neighbor.
Let's just recap a little bit. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, my wife Janet. And we're talking about the new evangelization. We're going to get to that in a minute. But how is the church responding to those that are leaving the church as well as those who are interested in joining the church? You know, what are the sort of the new modern ways that we can reach out and touch people's souls? If you have questions for us, you can feel free to call in at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. So, sister, let's talk a little about, you know, so the church has, you know, I always laugh, you know, the church is not the quickest to respond to changes, and you know, but they have a very long perspective, is what I've come to understand. You know, 100 years in the church is nothing, you know, for a group that's been around for 2,000 years. But the church is, you know, has recognized that they need new evangelization tools and methods to work in the modern world, and there is this whole new evangelization, processes, procedures, whatever you want to call them, that are being adopted by parishes and dioceses around the world. Maybe you could start and just explain to us sort of what the concept of new evangelization is, where it got its roots from, and, you know, maybe we can then talk about what does it mean and some examples of it, even in your own parish.
What's new about evangelization?
Yeah, it's not the content,
right,
as you know.
Right. Amen to that.
It's not the content. It's insofar as we have the message of Jesus and we try to live it and share it. The focus that, first of all, was brought, I think, by Pope Paul VI way back in 1974. And he said, we as a church, we exist to evangelize,
right,
to preach, to teach, to be the channel of the gift of grace. And we have to look not only to the church all over the world, but we have to look again at the church that already received the message of Jesus. We have to repropose the faith.
Right.
He knew back in 74 that many of our cradle Catholics, so to speak, are not practicing with enthusiasm, with fervor. John Paul said, yes, new evangelization, new in the ardor, in the methods, as you noted, Rich, and the expression of it. And then Benedict XVI, again, he said that it's not new in content, but in its thrust, in its methods, because we have to proclaim the gospel to those who have already heard it. And we are committed as a church to doing that. It is a very crucial need right now. It's a very timely need, the new evangelization, especially the evangelization of our own Catholics.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And and that's, and to that end, the church is giving a whole lot more deserved attention to our Catholics and doing that with compassion.
Right.
And there is a synod, you know, in the fall of 2012, that is a meeting of all the bishops of the world to attend to this, because we're too long, as you said, and although it's, we've been recognizing it for a long time, we're too long in coming to it.
Yeah, I think for many of us, maybe we're on the tail end of being baby boomers, Rich and I, and we just really weren't catechized well. And we're so blessed to be living in a time with all this technology, with the internet, with having Catholic radio, with having all these devices at our hands, to be able to really not, we can't use the excuse we didn't know anymore, because there's so much information out there. But we have to be, as Pope John Paul II said, we have to, with this new evangelization, make it very personal, and we have to exhibit a very profound meeting with our Savior. Really let that be the center of our souls, so that we can be that invitation to Christ and to the Catholic Church, to our brothers and sisters.
Right.
And
I think that's what Becky was saying.
Yeah, and so much
earlier
of it is, and the new evangelization, at first it calls all Catholics first to be evangelized before they go out and evangelize. Right. So what does that mean? That means that all Catholics now need to deepen their faith. That's the first piece of the two pieces of this. First, you deepen your faith, and then you have the joy of communicating that faith to others.
Right, right. Becky actually gave me a wonderful biblical Bible excerpt from 1 Peter 3:15 that kind of really touches that. Says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And I'd never seen that before, but that is exactly the essence of new evangelization, is that first you change yourself,
right?
You know, and study and do your own homework, so that you have an, when there's an opportunity that comes up. I mean, we're not typically known as, you know, a Protestant evangelical. We're not proselytizers. We don't knock door to door. But our Christian witness, our Catholic witness, is observable by others. And when that invitational moment happens, we need to be ready with, you know, maybe not all the answers. Nobody has all the answers, but at least, you know, point them in the right direction if you don't feel you have the answer, to some good sources. But encourage them and invite them to learn more, as you did.
And that invitational moment is, can be so simple.
Right.
So really, you know, it can be a question of, why are you doing a Bible study? You know, why are you seeking to get a little deeper in your faith? It can be, why are you a Catholic? And so, you know, one of the best analogies I think out there is if you were going for a job interview, you would prepare yourself for the questions that might be asked.
Right.
And as
right.
we go and we deepen our faith, we can prepare ourselves for a basic question. Why are you a Catholic? What is it about the religion that draws you in, that you get joy from? And as you deepen your faith, your joy is going to show. And that's going to be an invitation right there. People are going to see, Rich, you even said this about your wife. It was just watching the joyful life, and it brings you in.
Well, when Christ becomes the center of your life and you really have that joy, you fall in love with Christ, is what happens. And those crosses that you've been carrying all along, and we all have them, folks, you know, whether they're health issues, financial issues,
family issues,
whatever struggles, we all have our crosses. But those crosses can turn into blessings when we live them in a way that shows others that we have Christ in our heart, and that we are offering our crosses in a way that witnesses his love for us. Though they become blessings. If it wasn't for the cross of my health, of having cystic fibrosis, I don't know if I ever would have said, Lord, I'd really like to get to know you better. I don't think I would have recognized my mortality at the age of 40. It might have been maybe when I was 80 years old. You know, I would have been a different place in my life. So I'm so grateful for that cross of that disease, because it has opened up my heart to Jesus, and in falling in love with him and living his message in my life, it opened you up.
Right,
and
right.
And our children. And I can't imagine having a better life than what we have now. And I would never even have imagined to ask God for this. The fact that you are now ordained a deacon. I would never even think in those early days. In those early days that my living my little yes in whatever way was presented to me that day, by my saying that little yes, that God would take that little yes and magnify it to such degree beyond anything that I ever could have imagined, and continues to do so. And that's the beauty, and you want everybody to have that great gift that he is offering all of us.
Right, mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, the point is that it starts with the faithful listeners of our show that already have Christ in the center of their lives, you know, and if he's at the sidelines, bring him into the center of your life. Mm. But you know, it starts with you to have Christ
everything
in the center.
Everything flowing from that.
And everything flows from that. And as Becky mentioned, I was talking earlier about your listeners have heard our conversion story, but you know, seeing Janet's conversion, if you will, and as Christ came into her life in the center, she became a different person. Not in all ways, but in the strongest ways.
I always get a little ouch when I
hear
that.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that.
But I'm like, I'll feel that ouch for you, Lord. It's okay.
I don't mean
the shrew that I was.
But just a more a more peaceful, more
peace.
Loving, more kind,
living
and patient
in the moment.
Version
I think
of
it
yourself.
Was like living in the gift of the present moment and embracing that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's really
as
what
opposed
changed
to
for
always
me.
Worrying about the future,
and micromanaging
right.
everything.
Right. It's
I have
having
to,
peace.
I have to
it's
be in control.
Peace is the biggest
the peace,
thing I know.
It's allowing God to be in control
right.
and trusting that He will bring good from whatever situation we are encountering.
Yes.
Yeah, and some people, you know, don't feel at ease about using words. And I remind them of Francis of Assisi.
I love it.
Go ahead. Where he said, you know, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words.
Right.
You know, and sometimes it's especially hard when it's up close and personal with your family members. You know, your kids, your spouse, I know. And I always appreciated Pope Benedict's maxim, and he said, you know, a Christian knows when it's time to speak of God and when it is better to say nothing and to let love alone speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I hope that can be comforting to some of our parents. I meet some grandparents et cetera, who does not know that concern in their family somewhere along the line. And in knowing that and in having that concern, remember that you as a person who lives and to the degree possible shares your faith, you are a church connection for that member. Remember
right.
that. You
right.
are a church connection because we, even without saying anything to them, you are connecting your loved one to the Catholic Church just by reason of their mystical body. So just to continue with in compassion, you know the timing. We can always pray for our persons. When you sense an open door, maybe that's a moment. When you react to their comments with compassion, that's a good grace. When you can offer something that they need, maybe something's going on at the church or in the neighborhood that just may have some attraction to them.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an invitation. Everybody's way in or back is different.
Mm.
But just to remember that the Holy Spirit's always working. The Holy Spirit's stirring and does anointings to that person in the way
and in their
fits.
Time, not our time.
And in their time, right.
I mean, sometimes it can feel like you're take one step forward with Rich, and then it would be two steps back.
Exactly.
One step forward, two steps back. But I always took heart. I love quotes because I really think they really help keep us on track. And I can remember, Mother Teresa would say, we're not called to be successful, we're called to be faithful.
That's right.
And I took great heart in that. I'm going to be as faithful as I can every day, trying, and I'm going to let God do the rest. God does the rest. You can only do what he gives you control over.
Right.
And
right.
he has to do everything else. Right. We say our yes and live that. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you mentioned the power of prayer. I think
that
was a very strong influence in me, your prayers for me, but just prayers in general. You think of St. Monica praying for St. Augustine, this wild playboy of a guy that was...
Doctor of the church now.
Now a doctor of the church, but so far away from the faith. And living, what's the word?
A life we would cringe at.
Yeah,
my son was doing some of those things.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. You know, a life of a playboy, and she just never gave up on him. She followed him everywhere he went. She prayed for him.
Great role model.
And just persistent, and she took counsel in her confessors, saying, God will not let the tears of such a faithful mother go unanswered.
Right.
And there is a persistence. It's not always going to be in the time.
But she
you
trusted.
Want.
She didn't give
she
up.
Trusted.
She never gave up. And I don't think she's always depicted in the best light, but she is a mother who just never gave up, remained faithful, and continued in prayer. And that is a strong message for all of us.
Mm-hmm. So, sister, let's go back a little bit more and talk about. I think we all talked about sort of the personal aspects of evangelization and the need for it to start with yourself and to strengthen your own faith and your own ability to express your faith. But the church has also gone further and beyond that now, come up with some ideas about different ways to strengthen faith at different points in personal life, parish life, diocesan life. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think we're more conscious, and at St. Andrew's, we're more conscious of needing to bring the evangelizing word, that is the good news of Jesus, the invitation, the deepenings, as in as many places and in as many opportunities as we can. For instance, and I'll talk a little, very briefly about some of the programs that do that specifically, but there are so many things in place. I'll talk about St. Andrew's. There are many.
That's a wonderful example.
So many things in place there between meetings and educative opportunities, different types of gatherings. And if we can be all the more conscious to bring into those settings one of the goals of evangelization, which is, of course, to form ourselves, to deepen ourselves, to inform where we can, and then to transform. I have a little mantra that I sometimes say at night, what did I form either in myself or someone else today? Mm-hmm. Did I inform? Did I connect with? Did I invite anybody in some way? Even if it's using the language of faith in a restaurant.
Mm, that's true. Or the visible witness of praying before
a
meal.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And what did I transform? Now, at the parish of in St. Andrew, there are 50 ministries alive and well.
Amazing parish.
Transforming in small and large ways the needs of society and of our parish family. There are invitational programs. We have a Catholics Come Home program, which somebody said, well, how many came home, And I said, somebody told me, Jesus didn't say count the sheep. He said feed the sheep, So the Holy Spirit's in charge of numbers. But one thing leads to another. You work with four or five persons, and oftentimes, thanks to the goodness of
families are
the local church and the connections, oftentimes another person comes back from all of that.
Right.
And I think the programs are good, especially we need to work more on the use of technology in the outreach, etc. But that personal invitation is probably all the more key to,
what I remember, not from this past year, but prior years, sort of the interviews of those coming in, maybe entrance interviews, the leading reason they came to church, somebody asked them.
That's right.
Somebody especially around
them.
The holidays, Christmas,
right.
And Easter.
You want to church? You want to come?
A simple opportunity.
Like
public square opportunities. We at St. Andrew's are trying to avail ourselves of those opportunities.
Yes.
Recently, we accepted the invitation to go over to Council Rock North and just be a presence there, among other wonderful agencies and religious denominations.
Oh, wonderful.
Gave you an opportunity to talk with the kids. We go to Market Day in Newtown and set up a table. Again, And you can sometimes see people walk by and then come back and walk by.
Right.
And some of our evangelization team were superb. You know, they said, why are you walking back? You're Catholic, you know. Well, I was, you know. And it just sets up good opportunities.
Yep.
But we need to work all the more towards...
Sometimes we find that we have more in common than not.
That's right.
When we start talking.
And, you know, another huge area that we're working with, too, is family ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
you know, and for all the listeners that are listening right now, I mean, a huge part of the ministry is, if you're a parent, what you're doing in the building of the faith of your children. And together you can deepen your faith that way, but then your children will have mm-hmm. that. But so many of the children, whether they're in a religious education program or whether they're going to the school or in the Catholic youth organizations right. for the sports, you have a real opportunity there to reach the parents maybe that are not
That's
deep
right.
in their faith and how to bring them back. So
That's
there's
right.
some great opportunities there.
That's
yes.
right. It really starts with the family. You know, since we sort of, as Janet was saying, you know, we may have lost a generation of baby boomers mm-hmm. maybe not being well catechized. If we can reach back to them first, invite them in, then they can go back and teach their kids in a better way.
Yes.
One thing I forgot to mention, we are listening to Deacon Dialogues here. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, with my wife, Janet. We have Sister Pat Kelly from St. Andrews and Becky Gabriel, a new convert to the faith, joining us here as we talk about the new evangelization. If you have questions, please feel free to call us at 215-345-1570. I'm sorry, Sister.
No, I'm happy to just pick up on something that Becky mentioned. The need for the bolstering up of the values, sacred values these days, and to have that in an intergenerational way or a lifelong mm-hmm. formation way.
Mm-hmm.
And so many Catholic churches across the country, and I'm sure some other kinds of Christian and Jewish denominations too, are seeing the importance of lifelong faith formation.
Mm. Right.
And
exactly.
where we're trying to bring together the families and the community for a sharing and learning of the faith.
Well, I think it's so wonderful about St. Andrews is we're part of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Richboro.
Yes.
But over the years, many times would be publicized in our bulletin the different faith formation, mm-hmm. adult faith formation programs that you were holding. And you were so inviting to us to be able to come over and to join
yes,
in.
Yes, being a large parish, we have many opportunities. And perhaps later
yes,
on the program, I can mention some of them.
Absolutely.
That will occur between now and the fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
And through the fall, write St. Andrew and invite our listeners to that, too.
Now, Becky, maybe you want to spend a minute, you know, obviously we've been talking a little bit about the new evangelization and some of the programs and so forth in parishes. Let's talk a little bit about your story. You're a living witness of a new product of this new evangelization. What was it like for you? What first brought you to even consider joining the faith? And what was the process like to get through?
It was a long, slow journey. I grew up without any religion in my life.
Okay.
And I would be one of those spiritual people. I definitely always believed in a higher being.
Right.
But what that higher being was, I couldn't define. And the path on how to get there, I just didn't know. So I was limited in my ability to have a connection there. And, you know, and I have a very blessed life, and I found myself at a point where I was needing something more. It was joking around. I would look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I was looking at self-actualization on the top,
sure.
like, how do I get there? How do I do this? And I really was at a loss, and I was, you know, do I want to read about Buddhism? Do I want to? I was just mm-hmm. searching. I was really searching.
Right.
Meanwhile, when I got married, you know, close to 18 years ago, and I said to my husband, we got married, I don't care what we do, we just need to raise our children with some religion.
Yeah.
So thankfully, he was Catholic.
Yeah.
And not a practicing Catholic.
Right.
He would go on the holidays, but not much. And
right.
so then our first child, it came time for her to get her first Holy Communion. And my husband began to step up and began to go weekly.
Mm.
And began to really enjoy the deepening of his faith. And you know what was very interesting? One of the hard things for him was to go back and do reconciliation after that long of a time.
Yeah.
And all
We've
I
been
would,
there, done
yeah,
that. We
right.
know what he felt.
And so for anybody who's hesitant because of that, because of the length of time, I really strongly encourage them. The peace that comes after that,
grace.
And it was just beautiful on how comforted he felt from that.
Yeah.
So don't ever let that be a hesitation. That's, I just wanted to throw that in there. But as each of my kids hit their first Holy Communion, I would stay home with the younger ones. And then finally everybody was going, and it became very uncomfortably clear to me that I did not have a path forward and began to seek. So I began to go to the weekly masses with my family. Good. At the same time, I had a dear friend of mine who always knew my struggle with faith and invited me to a growth group. Hmm. And said to me, just come. You won't be the only agnostic, is what I was calling
it's an
myself.
Interesting title, growth group.
Growth group. It is, right? Yeah. But it's a neat, right, yeah. growth group.
It's not too imposing. Like,
it isn't
at
all.
Not too committing. You
right.
know?
And she said, you know, come. And I went there, and at the beginning of the growth group, she said, I just want to kind of put this out as an analogy, like a baseball game. Like, what base are you on your walk of faith, right? And I'm like, okay, guys, I don't even know what the game is, you know?
baseball,
what is baseball? Can you give me the definition? So I was so new. And as I was going through that, I was really concerned as I was questioning the faith, because at this point, I didn't even believe Jesus was the Son of God. You know, I just didn't believe that.
Right.
And I kept worrying that my questions were going to make them hesitant on their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what they all came back over and over and over again told me, all these women in this group said, the more you question and the answers that come, it deepens our faith.
Right.
So again, don't hesitate to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So those couple things together, I can't tell you one particular Bible verse or one particular conversation. It was just many things over and over.
Click.
Began to feel more and more right. And when I was in Mass one day and heard about the RCIA program, I knew I was being called. And I walked out with my husband and said, do you want to be my sponsor? And he was just tearful, and it was wonderful. And then I went through it. And the other piece of it
explain to some of our listeners that may not know what the RCIA program is.
It is adult initiation into the Catholic faith. And so... Sister Pat, do you want to?
It's the right of Christian initiation for adults.
And what it is about 9 months of going once a week mm-hmm. to, and you learn all the elements of it. And of course, you can't learn all the elements,
no.
but you know mm-hmm. whether the conversation is apologetics mm-hmm. one time or whether it is the Trinity. You know,
it's sacraments.
People who are sponsors, because I actually had the joy of being a sponsor this year.
That's right.
Sponsors get so much out of it to take someone through that program because they're so, again, it's a lack of education
right.
and you get a real opportunity to get some depth of education there.
Yeah.
So I went through that program, and the ending part of that program is during Easter.
Yeah.
And so it was wonderful
so
to come into the faith at that point. Really has been and I continue to grow.
What does this mean for your children, do you think?
So as a result, when I look back on this, on how I lived my life, and I lived my life well, but I was missing so much of it. And I look back on the past, 47 years of what it could have been, especially as I went through a bout of cancer 18 years ago, and so many different things that really it's so much more rewarding to have this in my life. And I go to bed with peace.
Right.
These days that I never
had
before. And guess what? I'm not looking at that Maslow hierarchy of needs anymore.
Right. You're fully self-actualized now.
You know, but when people, and I did, hey, listen, I had people say to me, Catholic? You're going to be Catholic? Are you nuts? And, and one of the things that isn't debatable when people are having a conversation with you, your faith is not debatable. People can't debate you about your faith. Your faith is there. It's genuine.
Right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's many of the prayers I don't know. I don't know many Bible verses. I don't even know how to quote the Bible verses. There's so much I don't know. But at first I was letting that intimidate me a little bit on talking to people, and I don't anymore, because that's not what it's about. It's about your faith and the joy and the love that you're feeling, and you deepen it as you get into that and you do more readings. But don't let your lack of knowledge make you hesitate to talk to someone about your faith. I think that's the key message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you say a lot with how you are as a person. Sometimes you don't have to use the words. It's just
how
you are as a person, living your daily life with whatever connections that you have throughout the day that speaks of your love for God.
And that you feel such fulfillment with it. And that's the message that you're communicating. And people want to feel that fulfillment, too. Everyone wants that.
Yeah. I think one of the things I know Monsignor Picard focuses very much on, and our Pat Monsignor is the pastor of St. Andrew's Parish, and one of the things, and it's one of the six kind of things discussed in the new evangelization methodologies, is really focusing on liturgical life, that
beauty,
the liturgy, the beauty of the liturgy is celebrated with reverence, with dignity, and with good homilies that encourage and invite people to explore more. That is an attractive element to people. So if they do get to church and they're sort of still on the outside, what's going on, and they see a beautifully executed liturgy with dignity and grace and Monsignor always says, he runs a large parish,
right.
And we're blessed with good finances, but he says, if things get tough, he says, I will cut everything except making the liturgy beautiful and having the church beautiful and have the vestments beautiful and the altar beautiful, because that's an invitation to people and people respect that when they see that and it draws them in. And I think that's one of the things that's wonderful about St. Andrew's, as many, but that's certainly, it was an attractive thing to me as we started coming. We'd come once in a while to St. Andrew's,
yes.
But just always seeing the reverence and beauty that the liturgy is performed.
That's true. And I'm only, almost 3 years now, but the liturgy and the leadership of Monsignor Picard in the ministry of evangelization. He is one mm-hmm. who really does take every opportunity to invite
he
back.
He is relentless.
He really is.
In a
loving way.
Loving way. Our other priests, Father Wilson and Father Brabazon, also have really undertaken that, putting that invitation where possible. And then we have the wonderful ministry of music there, which is another. And when Becky was talking about various updating at the beginning there, I was speaking to our adult faith formation director, Mai Pham, who has been very successful in terms of her planning for the diversity of our needs as people. And she was telling me this week that in the past 4 years, 1,200 persons have participated in the Bible studies.
Wow.
And 50 to 100 of them are almost at everyone offered.
Wow.
So it's a thing that does help deepen our...
There's a hunger to know truth
and go deeper.
And you are providing that with your parish, which is so beautifully.
And to have the Bible explained, and we talked about this on our last show, the notion of hermeneutics, which is really the study of how to interpret the Bible, because you can read the Bible on your own and get an awful lot out of it, but there's so much more to be had if you can really understand,
interpret correctly what's being said.
The Bible was written by men, inspired by God, but they were written for a particular audience at a particular time in a particular context, and unless you understand all those, you can maybe not get the fullness of what's being said. So the Bible study classes are a great way to kind of unpack what's being said in the Bible and get deeper meaning out of it.
Yes.
Sister, I know we only have a few minutes left. You want to talk about a few of the things that are coming up in St. Andrew's Parish in particular. This is only one parish, obviously, in the diocese, archdiocese of Philadelphia here, but it's just a representative sample of some of the things that are going on and
in
that are coming
up. In other parishes, right, yeah. And this is a year of faith for the Catholic Church.
You mentioned that.
From October 11th, 2012 to November 4th, 2013, a special year of faith. And one I think that we approach with purification.
Mm-hmm.
I think the distress of these times, I think perhaps the gift from these difficult times and hurtful times is nurturing in each of us more the attitude of Christ Jesus.
Yep.
It's a poverty of spirit. And so it's in that context, I think, that we can say as a local church, as a universal church, we are becoming purified and maybe all the more strengthened. Yeah. So in this year of faith, I think all the listeners out there, be so conscious of your power as a local church,
church
persons, to really invite and to spread the faith in your own special way. At St. Andrew's, I'll mention a couple things that are coming up shortly. For instance, when Rich mentioned the ritual and liturgy, we're going to have a Corpus Christi feast.
That was my first experience at St. Andrew's.
On June 10th. And you can find out more about these details by any looking at the website at St. Andrew or calling. We're going to have a team production of Godspell in September. having a courageous fellowship reflection for men on June 11th.
Excellent. That movie,
yes,
Courageous.
Oh, excellent.
As you know, the National Catholic Bible Conference is being held right here at Częstochowa on June 15th and 16th. We're having the Catholicism on 10 weeks from the June 14th to August 16th, Father Barron. We're having a new structure of called Faith Matters to celebrate the Year of Faith monthly on Mondays. I don't know whether you want to talk about Christ Renews His Parish, which our parish.
That's a wonderful program that will be starting this October. It's a retreat. It's a little unique in that it's a retreat given on the premises of the church. So it's men one weekend, women another weekend, but you actually sleep in the church. Yeah. And you eat meals there, and it's a unique talk about personal witness. It's all about, they bring in guests, people who will witness their faith and their faith journey and how Christ has changed their lives. And it's an invitation for those attending to kind of share their stories as well. But apparently we'll be doing it for the first time, but it's been done in almost 1,000 parishes around the country.
Yes.
And it's very transformative. People that come out of that, I'm so excited and so on fire that they then in turn help do the next retreat.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. This will be our first one. October.
I'll be there. You're
that
be there.
Sounds
good.
Great.
You'll have to wait for the woman.
The woman is first, like October 14th.
They're both
or so.
In October. Right?
Yeah, October 14th
sounds
or so
great.
For the women and October 28th, I think, for the men.
Excellent. Yeah.
And then, so too, in the fall, we have the program Epic Church History beginning in the fall, 20 weeks. Father Brian Bransfield, who many of you know, is giving a special reflection for married couples called Living the Beatitudes. That will probably be in the spring. So there are some of the things that are
those are just some beautiful examples.
Happening.
And the parish, we're very blessed. We have, as you said, dozens and dozens of different ways to learn more about your faith, to help spread your faith, to enrich lives of others that maybe have no faith. As Becky said, just... you know, we're called to share and be a witness to everyone, and that can happen through taking care of their physical needs with the poor and the homeless and the hungry, with those in prisons. I mean, we have all those ministries here at St. Andrews.
And if I may, I just wanted to mention a quick connection with Bucks County Community College, which is in the geography of St. Andrew Parish, but thanks to some of the students there, a Catholic club was begun at the college. And so I invite any listeners to invite any relatives of theirs, friends, to attend to that information and stop in at the Catholic club once a week.
Yeah, that's a good way for youngsters that are looking to embrace the faith more.
And what's wonderful here about Holy Spirit Radio is we like to help promote different events that you're holding, as well as if any of our parishioners at your particular parish, you have an event that you would like to get the word out about, you can contact Holy Spirit Radio by going to our website. That's www.holyspiritradio.org. And there you can submit your information that you would like to have announced. And we'd be very happy to get the word out for you.
Right, right. You know, one of the other things that we often get asked, in sort of goes back to Becky's first point of strengthening our own faith so that we can share it with others, is where do good Catholics turn to get some good information, to get that grounding in their faith, so that they can then go out and turn to others? I know, Janet and I, we learned pretty much all of our faith right here.
Holy Spirit Radio.
Which
can't lose having your dial tuned to 1570 or 1420 AM.
Right. And the whole EWTN network has just been a fountain of knowledge and inspiration for us. But there are other good sources as well, right, Sister, that they can turn to?
Yes. If you just go to the new evangelization website, it's full of good sources on faith development, on catechesis, etc. It has interactive resources there, prayers, cultural diversity practices, marriage and family life information, numerous catechetical tools. This is all under the New Evangelization.
Do you have the website there?
I think if you just Google New Evangelization, it will bring you to... because there are various websites connected. And also, as you would know, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has its link for evangelization, and there are many good resources noted there, too.
Yes.
I like the book, Remaining Catholic. I have shared this with some who have come to the Inviting Catholics Home program. And it's six good reasons for staying in an imperfect church. And so I think that...
And who wrote that?
Father Martin Pabla, P-A-B-L-E. He is a Franciscan.
And again, the name of the book is Remaining Catholic.
Yes, really Remaining Catholic.
And certainly every home needs a catechism of the Catholic Church and a Bible.
The catechism that's now, I mean, those of us that have been, you know, maybe learned a catechism a long, long time ago, the catechism of today is not 50 or 100 pages, it is thousands of pages. It's a wonderful reference. It goes to great detail explaining what we believe and why, and giving you insights and references to other sources.
And
that
keep
can
it
also
in the common room of your house. For us, it's the kitchen. That's where it
stays,
because you want to be able to,
out and,
to refer to it.
Like a reference there. And of course, if I only have people that you know, that only have a minute, or they only want to hear one thing, I would just say, go to Catholic.com. You know, it's
just
it's easy to remember. It's so obvious a name, and it's just a great
Catholic
starting
answers,
point to get you into lots of other good resources. And people will remember that, whereas they might, you know, sometimes they don't remember others.
And come next weekend, June 2nd is a very special day, especially.
June 4th is... Well, June 2nd next week is the ordination of my the next class of deacons behind me. And so we would, if we could just say maybe a brief prayer. They're on retreat this weekend in preparation for their ordination next week. It's a beautiful time to kind of sit back and reflect amidst all the preparations that they've been going through. So we wish them all well, and we'll say a prayer for them. Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And June 4th marks 1 year for your ordination.
Yes.
Congratulations.
We're blessed.
It's been a wonderful year.
To have your ministry and to have this ministry.
Yes, yes.
This ministry of Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Wonderful ministry. We're happy to be part of it. And thank you, Sister, for joining us. Sister Pat Kelly, St. Andrews, and Becky Gabriel, our new convert. And an evangelist.
Yes.
That's right.
On fire for the faith.
Well, let me just say one final thing on this, is that this is what it's all about, the new evangelism, is to remember to rediscover the joy of believing and the enthusiasm for communicating the faith.
Amen. Amen to that.
And we're just so excited. Next show is going to be a pre-recorded show for us, but we're going to be talking about how to stay Catholic while at college. And we'll actually...
our daughter Vanessa Napoli will be part of the program, as well as her boyfriend Kieran Kelly.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that.
So thank you all for joining us. We'll enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Happy
and God bless you all.
Happy birthday to our church.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.